it's understanding what we want to create for ourselves.
Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett, and today I am joined by the brilliant Lee Jackson, and this really is his fourth visit. If you listened to his previous episode, I introduced it as his fourth, and it wasn't. It was his third. So anyway, this is his fourth visit. Something went a bit weird with my microphone, but Lee did a fabulous job, as always. Enjoy.
Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast, and I am joined by Mr. Interruption himself, Mr. Lee Jackson. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Actually, funny you should say that. I was with my father-in-law many years ago, and you can tell I don't hold a grudge or anything by this story. It was literally like 12, 13, 14, it was 15 years ago, and we were by a river, and I said, I want to be on TV one day. And he said, yeah, he'll be on TV as interference. Harsh, don't you think?
Maybe.
So we all joke and laugh about it, but I think I still hold that grudge.
Maybe. But maybe there's something in it. You know, maybe you need a look or something that could embody that Mr. Interference thing.
Well, we could say, well, yes, you are right, actually, because I like to disrupt, the agency model. So I'm a disruptor. So I am like interference. You could say that. And then he was right. He's prophetic. Whoa. All right. I'm good now.
Okay.
Folks, I'm Lee Jackson. I am a friend of Pete. And this is my fourth time on Pete's podcast.
This is your fourth time on my podcast. Now, if you actually want to go and listen to the official fourth time intro of Mr. Lee Jackson, go and check out a previous episode that is in the show notes where I introduced him as his fourth time on the show, and it was actually only his third. So we'll cross-reference that one. Nobody will have noticed,
Lee. Exactly. It's all seamless.
So, yeah, mate, do you want to... I'm sure people don't really need an intro from you now, but you want to tell the lovely boys and girls at home just a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Sure. So my name is Lee Jackson. I run the Agency Trailblazer podcast and brand and everything that goes amongst that, which is including a company within it that does services for agencies like design to code, which is all good fun. And I also run another company as well called Event Engine, which is a... WAS, or a website as a service, I think it's called, where we are offering customized websites out there in the events industry on like big bulk licenses. So that's a kind of a whole uber geeky area of my life that a lot of people don't really know about and have lots of fun in as well. So that's those two companies. And then when I'm not running two companies, which obviously is very time demanding, I also run a family. And there's me, my wife, and my little girl who live here in a lovely village called Findon. There you go. That's kind of us.
I've not come to visit you in your new office yet.
You haven't, no.
Weirdly, I have a client that is, I don't know how far it is from Findon, but it was in Wellingborough, which is the sort of biggish town near where you are, isn't it? And you used to have an office there. So I'd pop in and see you in your office when I was visiting the client. But I've not been down there in a while since you moved to your new one.
And well, we're 5 minutes away from Wellingborough, so it's you can pop in whenever you want.
Thanks, mate. You've now said it on the podcast, so you know. Yeah. It's kind of legally binding in certain states.
Absolutely. I don't mind. Well, if people have seen the picture of you, I took it at my office in Wellingborough. So, you know, hey.
This is true.
You copyright did. Lee Jackson. Let's not talk about that, shall we?
Yeah, the green haze around my hair. That is actually Lee's green screen in the background.
Yeah.
Too tight to have proper headshots done so far.
And it's also the green screen that I don't use anymore because I'm too lazy to edit my videos to put backgrounds in it. So I just kind of, I've ended up adjusting my camera so that there's a bit of a blur in the background, like a depth of field. So it just makes it look nice. And then I don't even have to like edit a background anymore. I can just be lazy and stand in front of the camera and talk and then switch it off.
Yeah, you see, I do some of this stuff at my desk and I'm in an office, a building that's been converted into offices. But everybody thinks this is a wardrobe behind me, which I suppose technically it is. Mm-hmm. But it's just because in between like the chimney breast in this Victorian house, the landlord decided to put a wardrobe in there and I'm really not in my bedroom. And it's one of those things. Anyway, one of the things that, while we were teeing up this show, actually that's a lie, the thing that we talked about in teeing up this show was to have a bit of a chat about work-life balance. And there's already a couple of things that you've mentioned that I know you've made those decisions because of addressing that work-life balance. And one of them was the relocation of your office.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, your old office was what, a 10-minute drive or something from your house, and you're now a 5-minute walk.
Yes.
And so, you know, just talk us through that, the whole work-life thing and why you started including that when you've been making business decisions.
Alrighty. So, well, that's a great question. Now, what happened was the office that was 10 minutes away became a 45-minute drive because they decided to close the main road between here and Wellingborough for like a year. And it was just insane. And it was irritating me like crazy because it meant that, you know, I was picking up Larissa and we were then having to drive all around several villages just to get to the place that was hardly that far. We could have probably walked it in the same amount of distance, 45-minute walk or a 45-minute drive. So it was really frustrating. So we started working from the office at the back of my house. And that was the point where I was like, oh, this is lovely. And I'm waking up and I'm just walking downstairs. And Larissa lives like minutes away. She was just walking to my house and we were working. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is perfect. What we're going to do is we're going to hand in our notice in the office in Wellingborough. And we'll work in my home office until we find something in Findon here. And that's exactly what we did. And we called around. I basically called around lots of different places, businesses in Findon, saying, hey, do you have a spare room? We'll be no trouble. And eventually we found a spare room and we are no trouble. We are really enjoying it. And we just get to walk down the road. There's a coffee shop right next door as well. That's a common theme. I'm usually next to coffee shops and I'm down in that coffee shop every morning. In fact, I was in that coffee shop just earlier for brunch as well, which was delicious. And I met with a supplier and you always have to have breakfast when you meet in a coffee shop in this particular one. And we had a nice full English and coffee and just had a great conversation. But also it means I can meet my mum regularly down there who also lives in the village. In fact, pretty much everyone in our family is here and my business. And it's lovely. My daughter works with us as well every Monday and Friday. So she doesn't actually work for us. She actually works in an internet school. So she's educated via the internet and all of her teachers log on, very much similar to these Zoom rooms that we're actually recording this podcast episode on. And she actually is with us as well 2 days a week, which is wonderful. So I get 2 full days of annoying her in my office as well as 2 days at the weekend. So I get 4 full days with my daughter as well, which is lovely. I get to hang out with Larissa, who's my best friend, which is phenomenal. And obviously my wife's nearby as well. So it's a much better work-life balance. We're a lot more chilled and you can kind of do what you need to do anyway. It doesn't really matter when is. So I don't need an office down in Wellingborough if I can just have a spare room, which this is, in someone else's unit in the same village that I can just walk to, which I walked to this morning. It was a nice walk.
That's cool. And, you know, there's a thing, I suppose the perception, there's a perception change there, isn't there? There's an idea that when you set up a business, you have to get an office and it has to be in a particular place and it has to work as a lease and it has to do this and it has to do that and it has to do the other. And actually, no, all you really need is a bit of space where you can get some peace and quiet. And
exactly.
Being able to fit that into your life. It's being able to fit that into your life rather than having to fit your life around it.
Yeah, you're right. What you actually need to know is what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, not what you should apparently do. So I was doing what I should apparently do for the last few years, and I've gone through multiple offices. You know, first of all, started at the back of our church over in Wellingborough because it was low cost and I didn't have that much money back then. But then, you know, that became untenable because it was too noisy. So we moved to another place, but didn't really like the landlords there. So we eventually moved to another place, and then that was when they closed the road. So it got really annoying. But still, it was all part of this being fed by, oh, I need to have an office space. It needs to be a serviced office space. It needs to meet all of these stereotypical criteria so that I can call myself an agency. What changed was being forced to travel 45 minutes and hating that impact on our life. It forced me to say, well, what do I really want? And I actually really want to be able to walk a few minutes and be at my office and then walk a few minutes and be home. Still want my office separate. I don't want to be working from home necessarily because it's harder to switch off when your business is within your house. Although there are still steps you can take to separate that as well, aren't there? But yeah, so being able to, you know, leave everything here in the office and then go home and playing the PlayStation is lovely. Although I've actually just discovered remote play, which is amazing. So I've got my controller here and I plug it into my laptop and I can actually play my PlayStation at lunchtime from here. How lazy is that? That's amazing.
Well, it's even more lazy considering you've just spent the last few minutes telling us how great it is to have an office so close to your house that you can walk there, right?
Yeah, and instead of walking home to play the PlayStation, I can do it from here, which is awesome. Or I can do it during meetings. In fact, I'm doing it right now. This whole podcast, I'm not. Although Watch Dogs 2 is really, really good. Just like people know, it's an older game, but I'm really enjoying it. I was into GTA 5 for a long time, but I'm getting a bit bored of it. And Watch Dogs 2 is phenomenal. I'm absolutely loving it.
There you go. You'll be onto Fortnite and that kind of stuff.
No way. Drives me mad that game.
This is almost becoming. Welcome to the PS4 podcast with Pete. Now we're not.
Add me on PS4 at Lee Jackson Dev. Always happy to make some good friends.
So now, I don't want to make this too heavy, but you recently launched a podcast about some things that have been going on in your life recently, and they are quite heavy and they are quite serious. Mm-hmm. But because of some of the decisions you've made, you've been able to be there with your family for through some serious times. You've not been that absent person that, really sorry, but I've got to go to work. It's mm-hmm. a case of, no, my family needs me now, so that is where I'm going to be. And because of the way you've set up your businesses and your work, you have this work-life balance, you've been able to accommodate that in the last few months. So do you want to unpack a little bit about that? Feel free to go into as much or as little of it as you want, because I know from connecting with you offline, I know a bit more of the backstory to you.
No worries. Well, let's first of all rewind back to what life used to be like many, many years ago. So many moons ago, I was running an agency. There was a lot of pressure. I was trapped in that agency, essentially. If I didn't do work, then we couldn't pay suppliers and we couldn't pay our staff. That's just the way we were set up. A lot had to go through me. A lot had to go through all of the other directors. So essentially, we created a business that we were tied to, that you could really take time off, that we were working 18, 19, 20 hour days. I mean, if you imagine, sometimes I was working until 3 a.m. to finish something, and then the go live would be that morning at 8 a.m. So I'd basically get 3 hours sleep, and then I'd be up again getting everything prepared for the go live, and then I'd have to stay awake all day because I needed to be there because it had just gone live and I needed to be there to answer any questions. So this was just generally the life of Lee in an agency. And it was absolutely awful and abysmal and stressful and tiring and horrible. And I was hardly getting any time with the family. And it was just a yucky experience. You know, my wife's not happy because I'm not spending time with her. My daughter's not making memories with me and all of that. It's her memories are dad stuck at the back of the house in his home office, or dad just being out all the time, or dad being grumpy and stressful. So that is not a good place to be. That's many, many moons ago. Thankfully, a lot changed. We started changing these things over 5 or 6 years ago, where we were like, okay, enough is enough. We can't live like this. You know, life is way too short. The biggest catalyst, though, for the change, and I don't know if I've shared this story yet on your show necessarily, I tell all sorts of people who'll listen because it's important, was that my dad died. My dad died of a major heart attack. And the process for him was that he worked until nearly midnight, got into bed and died an hour later in his sleep. And that was a shock. That was a massive shock. You know, so this is a guy who, age 62, has worked his butt off, you know, which is exactly what I'm doing, yeah, at this time, 5 years ago. I'm working my butt off too. It's actually maybe 6 years ago. I don't know. I'm losing count now. And he's worked his butt off and then dies an hour later. So he never gets to retire. And his, like, his relaxation time was to die because he, like, worked until near midnight and then just passes away, which is the worst thing ever. And it was a massive shock for us all because we thought he was going to be around forever. We thought he was going to be working into his 70s or 80s because he was like one of those people who loved to work, yada, yada, yada. But that's kind of, history could potentially repeat itself with me if I carried on the trajectory I was going, which was, we just have to accept that Lee will always work and potentially work himself to death. I'm not saying my dad necessarily worked himself to death, but what happened there was he did not necessarily get the great work-life balance that he could have done, and he also didn't get to enjoy retirement, which really sucks. So that was the, you know, the massive thing for me of, okay, I need to change a lot in my life if I'm going to, you know, create a good life, because I've just learned that life is too short. You know, I'm in my 30s and 62 ain't that far away. So I've got a shorter amount of time than I thought. I mean, I'm hoping not to go at 62. Hopefully it'll be 100. But, you know, I don't know what the future holds. So I need to stop, you know, working my butt off 18, 20 hour days. That's just ridiculous. Something has to change. And that's exactly what we've been on this kind of 5-6 year journey now. It initially started maybe 8 years ago when we started to reset how we do business in our old agency. And we were slowly chipping away at time and making decisions there. But in earnest, when Dad died, I was like, okay, you know, I can't repeat history. I can't model to my daughter that this is life. And I can't model to my wife that this is life. And I also can't do this for myself and my own mental health either, because, you know, I struggle with depression quite badly. I'm on tablets, some pretty heavy stuff. It's really difficult. And if I carry on doing this in my life, then, you know, I'm just going to, history's going to repeat and it's not going to be a good place to be. So what we've spent the last 5 years on really is focusing and creating several mantras as a family. One of them being together is our favorite place to be, which really helps drive a lot of the decisions that we do. So for example, you know, if I'm going to travel, if I'm going to do anything for the business and that, then we're always going to make sure that if it is something I have to do, it's always going to be something we can do together. So if I need to go to the States to go and do something as a business, that's something we're all going to do. So we're all going to go and jump in the plane and do that as a holiday. And I'll jump out for a couple of days and do whatever it is I need to do. But then we're still hanging out together, you know, in the States or whatever it is. So that's one of the mantras that we've built up over time. Obviously now I work 8 till 4 every, you know, 5 days a week, and that is it. I don't work beyond it ever. So we don't work at nights, don't work at weekends or anything like that. So that was another big decision. You know, if it's that important, then it'll get done at 8 a.m. the following day. Sorry, mate. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I've got to plan my time accordingly and manage my clients accordingly. So, you know, that's something else that we've done. We've massively changed that. I'm able to commit time to church. I'm able to commit time to family. So, you know, every night we have off. I can do whatever we want. Me and my wife go dates usually on a Tuesday whilst my daughter's at youth group. So that's nice as well. So we're just getting this nice work-life balance. 5 days a week, 8 till 4. Very often we'll have done our work early. So me and Larissa will slope off at 2 or 3 instead, because why not? And this is running two agencies at the same time here. So it is possible. And these are two successful agencies turning over a good chunk of cash with a good client base. And we're still able to, you know, slope off at 2 or 3 if we want to and have time with our family. So this is what, this is exactly what I've been aiming for. Now the difficulty is to work out how to scale that without getting busy again. So that's what I'm working on at the moment, is like that next chapter. How can we scale and increase the income and help more people without adding that pressure onto us as a team, and then starting to encroach on that nice work-life balance that we've achieved at the moment. So that's kind of where we're at. And I can kind of unpack some of the things of how we've done it.
Cool. That'd be great. Two comments.
Very conscious. I've just spoken for like half an hour.
It's all right, mate. You're the podcast interviewer's dream. It's brilliant. Yeah. I just stand here and nod. It's great. There's two just comments that I'd like to make before you start unpacking about how you've done that. Okay. The first is that it's now, at the current time of recording, 3:20.
Yep.
So I'm sorry that I've kept you in work today.
That's all right. Remember, it's 8 till 4.
And the second thing is actually slightly more serious, is that I like the fact that you've that this isn't just a change for you, that you built this into the ethos of working at one of your agencies. Mm-hmm. So it's very easy to think, right, well, I'm the boss, I want a good life balance, so I'll get my minions in, they can work as many hours as God gives them, but I've got the work life balance. But actually, no, you know, you've got your team, you impose those rules of the work-life balance on them too.
Absolutely.
So if they do need to sneak off a bit early, you know what, as long as the work's done, hey, the work's done. And that's, you know, so I think that's brilliant. So anyway, yeah, you dive straight in and...
Well, that's the biggest change, the work's done, right? So the biggest change for us is making sure that we've done the work. So the first thing we had to do is obviously hike up prices, because if you are trying to service multiple people at a low rate, then you are going to be busy and there's nothing you can do about that. No matter how organized you are and productive, if you are not charging enough, then you're stuck building or servicing, let's say, I don't know who listens, but let's just talk of agencies. I'm an agency owner. So if I am pitching tons of websites for dirt cheap, I got to build tons of websites and I am not going to escape my office. So I obviously need to increase price. So the first step for us was absolutely increasing our price. Then though, the problem there is that you're increasing your price, but you need to make sure that you understand who it is that you're going to serve, because I can't just increase my price and serve anyone, because that way I serve nobody and I'm not going to be able to compete. Thankfully, we'd already started Angle Crown anyway, and Angle Crown, its focus was agencies, but we needed to kind of double down on that now and say, okay, well, we're only going to help this type of agency who have this many staff, who have this particular WordPress requirement, who need us to build in this particular way, who need us to manage the project, yada, 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 so that we can add all of this value and then position that at a high cost and say, all right, yes, we're not going to be as cheap as another country where you can get it for a few dollars. We're actually going to be a few grand, but we're going to do all of this for you. And that's how we've positioned ourselves. That allows us to just work on a few themes a month, if that. And then obviously with the paid community that we've got for other agency owners as well, and also the fact that we've got this residual repeating revenue income coming in from Event Engine all the time because of the licensing. That's a licensing based agency model, so there's very little work involved in that. It's just licensing for the IP that we've built off over the last few years. That also brings an income as well, so that just allows us to not have to do too much nowadays. We do enough work, we do our marketing, we do our content, and we service a few websites in a side of Angle Crown, because that's its bread and butter. But we're obviously aiming to build up the agency Trailblazer revenue side of things to eventually replace all of that, so we can go full time on content. And that's pretty much what we've been able to create. We know what we need to pay each other, so we have our targets. We make sure that all of that is covered, all of our costs are covered. We're not spending too much on all sorts of stuff that we don't need. So it's cheap office rent. We're not subscribing to every single software as a service product that we can imagine, so that we can just keep our costs lean, mean, and you know the profits are there. Then it just takes all the pressure off. We don't have the pressure of, oh crap, we've got to get another 5 websites in this month, or we're not going to be able to meet quotas. It's just a case of we earn enough so that we can have a good life balance. And that's part of the problem, I think, for people, is that they'll we always think we have to grow and grow and grow and have this bigger office and have more staff and everything. And all that's doing is just building on the pressure and the pressure and the pressure until, you know, it's hard to cope with. Whereas if you know what you want, and that's what we did 5 years ago, it's a case of what do we really want from this agency and what do we want to create that's going to suit us and our lifestyle? That's therefore what's happened over the last 5 years, pushing Event Engine so that we've got a residual income of, you know, repeatable, sorry, income from licensing. So that's going to bring stuff in so that we're not having to exchange time for money all the time, as well as on the Angle Crown side of things, where we're increasing the price to a very specific type of person so that we can do, you know, sorry, a specific type of company so that we can do really good work for a select few people and not have to worry about piling them high. So that's essentially what we did, increase prices. We found our ideal client that would be able to pay those prices so that we could really look after them. We've saved on a whole load of costs, and obviously we've got this ongoing revenue coming in from licensed products that we do and our membership. So we've got the, you know, the residual, is that the right word?
Residual, well, it's residual income, isn't it?
You know what I mean? That repeating
recurring income.
Recurring, there you go. I knew there was a word for it because there was a whole event, wasn't there, recently? We've got the recurring revenue coming in just automatically, and then we've got the physical services that we offer there on the side as well. Took time. First couple of years, I was still stressed and still busy and still working late. The trick there was obviously increasing prices. All of these are all the basics, but once you start doing that, there are other things that you can start to throw into the mix, which is having procedures. You don't necessarily have to outsource everything either. I mean, outsourcing does help, which we don't have to do as much nowadays. We used to. But having repeatable processes and procedures is very helpful, because you're not going to miss out on things, and you can just follow a step-by-step plan and you make sure it's done and dusted the same way every single time. Rinse and repeat, nice and easy. But it also, and it also means you don't make a whole lot of mistakes, which is nice, because we've made lots of mistakes in the past. We still do make mistakes. I was just telling you before this podcast exactly about a 5-hour mistake I made today, because sometimes you do make 5-hour mistakes, which we did today, which was really, really annoying. But
at least it wasn't a 6-hour mistake.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly that. But, you know, we've got the time now. Like, if we do waste time on something, it doesn't actually matter, because we're not up against the wall with other projects that are, you know, screaming down our necks or anything like that. So I've lost my train of thought now. Ask me a question to help.
So the thing that I think by having all of that in place, it also makes things like, I know you're talking about scaling, and you're not building an agency the way you're going to employ dozens and dozens of developers to, you know, that's not your goal. But on the same note, if you do want to increase your team by one, then it makes it far easier to find that person, because it's right, who's going to fit in with my model? Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're hiring a developer, you'd expect them to be able to develop anyway. So it's actually the metric about who that person is, right? Are they going to be able to fit in with this model? Because some people do like to get to their work desk and tap away all day. Developers in particular are a kind of particular breed, I think is the word for it. You know, they do enjoy sitting in a dark room with just themselves and their computer. And,
it's a bit stereotypical. I'm offended.
No, you're not.
I am a developer. Bit stereotypical. I am not offended, really. No, I'm not. I got you, though, for a second.
You can think about it while you're sat in your little man cave developing later.
Yeah, I actually do have a man cave. That's annoying.
you see, we're all the same. I'm a developer as well. Right? Yes. We're all the same. I think that makes it. There's other sort of ripples that by having this thing in place, it does kind of make other things easier. Now, you then just touched on something though that I think is quite key, which is that you then made these decisions, and then for the first couple of years, you were still busy and stressed, but at least you had the focus of where you were going.
Yeah.
I think for those of us that are starting on this journey, that are starting to think, right, I really need to do something to address this, the first thing is you are going to have to accept that you're going to have to work maybe a little bit harder to begin with in order to get the momentum going to move in the right direction. But secondly, that with some sort of clever knowledge or some clever thinking about what are the first few small changes you can make, those small changes can lead to a bigger impact, which is kind of what we were talking about last time you were on.
Absolutely. Agency transformation, I think we were talking about, weren't we, where we were saying small achievable actions lead to big change. And that's exactly what we did for the first 2 years. Small achievable actions, you know, increase the price a little bit. That's an achievable action. You just increase the price. You literally just quote more next time. There's a small achievable action that's just happened. Another one would be, okay, we're all going to finish at 5 o'clock from now on. That's the simple change we did 5 years ago. It was 5 o'clock back then. And the idea there was that nobody was allowed to work beyond 5 o'clock, which meant we had to get work finished by five. And that changes it. That changes your mindset. If you start to, if you think to yourself, oh, this is so stressful and tired, but, you know, I can work till midnight finish off, so that's not the end of the world, then you're gonna work till midnight to finish it off. When you know you're gonna finish at five because you need to go home and take the kids out and go for a meal with your wife, whatever it's gonna be, you suddenly get that work done by five. So just those small achievable actions do lead to big change. And yeah, it was probably a couple of years worth of stress and mistakes and bad decisions and other things going on that would you know, detract and make it difficult, as well as a staff member starting and then leaving and all sorts of stuff, other stuff that got thrown in the mix. But now it is a completely different place. I mean, there's all sorts of things you can do as well. I mean, you know how much content I put out. We put a ridiculous amount of content. In fact, let's just frame that. For anyone who doesn't know what sort of content we put out 3 YouTube videos a week. So that's 3 YouTube videos. We put out a full podcast as well. So we're now talking about 4 pieces of content. Then what we also do is we do a full 30-minute presentation, which is we now actually record it in advance. That's something we've been doing for a little while, where we do a full 30-minute presentation for our community as well. So we're now rocking on 5 pieces of content. But then what we also do in Event Engine is a weekly YouTube video. And we also do a bi-weekly live stream. So we're now talking about 8 pieces of content. All of these require editing, require transcripts, require planning. You know, you've got to come up with subjects for all of this sort of stuff. They require getting in touch with people, getting guests involved, and all of that sort of stuff. So if we're talking about an average of 8 pieces of content a week, because I like to batch stuff up, then that's a lot of commitment and a lot of time. And yet we're still able to achieve it along with everything else, because we're doing things like batching. If you watch my videos, you'll see I'm wearing the same t-shirt for like a whole week's worth of episodes. In fact, if you watch all this week's episodes, you'll see I'm in the same t-shirt every single day. Or what I've done is change t-shirt and move the camera a bit so it looks like it's a different day. But it's actually, you know, I'm just batching content out so that we can achieve those sorts of things. And I'm not reacting like my podcasts used to be a reaction. I need a podcast live by the end of the day. What shall I make? Now it's been made in advance. You know, we've planned everything in advance on a creation day of us, say a Monday creation day, so that we've got the rest of the week to concentrate on other things. So by Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock, we'd finished all of our content commitments and had the rest of that Tuesday and the rest of this week to do whatever we want. I was even tempted to start recording next week's stuff, but I have to. But, you know, I was enjoying it that much. But that's, again, those are the sorts of things that you can do, batch the essential content. Because one of the things I think we forget as business owners, no matter what business you're in, is we forget to market our business. We forget that there is a pipeline and we need to feed that pipeline and we need to generate things like content to generate those leads so that we can then have ongoing leads coming in. Otherwise, it's just heads down, isn't it, doing the work and then, oh, crap. I need to generate leads, which means now it's heads down generating leads and then it's back to heads down doing the work, and you'll never get out of that feast and famine cycle. And that feast and famine cycle also feeds a negative work-life balance.
So, you know, a funny ha-ha sort of story with this, which has happened to me literally in the last week, was that, so many moons ago, I used to be a freelancer. I sort of billed myself as a WordPress development house, but it wasn't. It was me in a room. I was a freelancer. And I was very cheap as a freelancer. And there's a whole story behind, which I've shared on a different show, about why that ended and I was headhunted for a job and this. Anyway, recently,
headhunted.
I know. Somebody actually wanted me as an employee. That was a problem, wasn't it? Recently, a client from my freelance days got back in touch with me, and they wanted a project doing, and we've got on with it, and we've designed it, and this, it's not a mega project, but they wanted a project doing. Anyway, you know how time is one of those great healers? I'd forgotten how much of a workaholic this particular client was.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to go completely PC here. I'm not even going to mention whether male or female. I'll just call them they.
Sam they... Smith would be proud of you.
Thank you.
How very topical. Anyway, carry on.
They literally, their idea of a Good Friday night was to read their spouse the terms and conditions from their new website. They work every minute of every day. They wake up at the weekend, and part of the problem being a supplier to them, which is just crushed back down to me, is that you will spend all week clawing away, working late, doing everything you've just said in order to catch up with the client.
Yeah.
You don't get to Friday night and think, oh, thank God I've done it. They've got 3 working days between now and Monday morning. So they've got like 30 hours. So you come in Monday morning, and even if you've been so disciplined you don't work the weekend, you're already behind in their eyes. Anyway, long story short, we've just had to go through this kind of process of re-educating them to say, look, we don't work like that anymore.
No.
We have a schedule. This is our schedule. We are going to hit that. We are committed to doing that. We have processes in place that allow us to do it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now all you have to do is trust us. You're not micromanaging us. We are delivering something for you. And it's created some interesting discussions this week. I'll be perfectly frank. But it's just been a reflection of how different life has become over the past four years for me anyway. Mm. And I'm not in the same place that you are. I mean, I don't put out anywhere near as much content as you do. I still need to work on things like, you were saying things earlier, like, oh, everything needs a transcription. And I'm thinking, yeah, I wish everything had a transcription. That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not in the same place that you are. I don't need to be, because I'm doing maybe something a bit different. But life has still changed a lot. And I think what people often forget is that they simply see success as money, as financial target, and actually success is so much more than that. And defining your own picture of what success is brilliant. And once you get there, you're then empowered to say, right, this is what success was for me. Am I happy with this, or is success ever so slightly different? And what do I need to tweak to achieve that? Rather than saying, it's, I want to earn £1 million this year, you know.
I want to pick up on some things you said then. First of all, brilliant YouTube channel, Agency Trailblazer, a little pitch in there. We actually talk about how do you define success, because that is really, really important. That's one of the things I think that we're driving at here. But you said something that's important, and you said, I'm not where you are and I don't need to be. And that's the important key thing, isn't it? It's understanding what we want to create for ourselves, as opposed to comparison. Comparison is the killer. So if you were to sit there and go, oh, I don't do transcriptions on my podcast. Oh my gosh, they're really expensive. That's going to add up. That's going to add more time. But you know, maybe I need to do transcriptions on my podcast. You're going to start, it starts to rob you of the joy and the pride of what you've created. But it's brilliant and important that you said, no, I don't need to do that right now. That's not where I'm at. That's going to, you know, if I start doing all that's going to impact on my workflow and all that sort of stuff. I don't need to do that yet. And that's really important. We need to stop comparing ourselves to other people. And that's what I've done for years. I have always tried to get that office that I thought I needed. I've always tried to create that business and that persona that I've always thought I've needed to create, because that's what other agency owners do. And if I'm not doing that, I don't feel happy. I don't feel satisfied with what I have now, because I have my goals and I have my measurement of success, which is time with the family, and kids that don't hate me, if you know what I mean. You know, that's what drives me. In fact, I do have one kid that hates me, if you listen to the personal update. But you know, and that's a long story, but you know, this is what drives me now. So that's what drives my decisions, and that's what's driving what I want to create as an agency, as opposed to what everyone, you know, would think you would need to. So yeah, I am glad you said that, because comparison will rob you of your joy. Stop comparing yourself. Stop comparing your business to other people's businesses and create your measure of success. Create your business that you want to, which means your work-life balance should be positively affected, because what you really want in life is not £1 million and working your ass off. What you really probably want in life is enough money and time with those people that you love.
Yeah,
which I think that's most people, apart from people who want to read the terms and conditions. I mean, that may be slightly different for them. Yeah. Maybe they want more terms and conditions, and then, you know, they could go to Simply Docs and download more.
Yeah. Yes. What do you want to read tonight, darling?
I'd really like to read the privacy policy with the GDPR compliance edition, please. Thank you.
There you go. I think we've just mocked up their evening, mate. I'm not gonna ask you to unpack any more of those bombshells that you just put in that last minute. But
because I've talked too much, isn't it, Pete?
No, well, yeah. That wasn't the one I was thinking about. But I'm not going to bring it up again. So, mate, if people want to reach out to you, what's the best way they can get hold of you?
Hit us up, agencytrailblazer.com. If you want to join the Facebook group, just put /group on the end of that, and you'll find me rocking and rolling in there. Or join us on our YouTube channel. So that's agencytrailblazer.com/YouTube. I would love it if some people would subscribe to that and come and have some conversations, especially on the Frank stuff, because we are pushing as many Frank conversations as we can, because we're so sick and tired of people believing the rubbish that Facebook is retargeting them with.
So just on that, actually, so your YouTube channel has 3 videos a week, and they've all got themes, haven't they? So there's motivation, mm-hmm, Monday.
Yep. What's up Wednesday?
Yeah, that's right. And then Frank Friday. And
that's right.
Frank Friday stuff that you're just touching on there.
Absolutely. They're the ones that get the most comments, because we're trying to be controversial, but on purpose controversial, you know, which is good. And positively controversial, so to help people rethink what it is they're doing. You know, or talking about anything like rethinking failure, or stop ribbing Squarespace, which is quite controversial for our guys because they all love WordPress.
Yeah, absolutely. So go and check that out. There'll be links to all of that in the show notes. The link to the show notes will be in the intro and outro. Mate, thank you again so much for your time. It is always a pleasure, and I'm looking forward to being at your event next year. But I'm going to see you before that. Sure,
you are. You better add. We'll meet you. So,
yeah, absolutely. We will. Cheers, bud. See you soon.
Peace.
Lee, thank you so much for your time. You are an absolute superstar. Show notes for this episode can be found at peteeverett.com/069. And if you're not part of our Facebook group, I want to ask you why. So please head on over to peteeverett.com/group and you can join a group that's about 300 of us in a closed Facebook group where we talk about marketing issues, we recommend software, we ask questions, we just generally have a great time. So if you're not part of that, head on over to Facebook and find us there. I'll see you next week.